guests here that I wish our pastor was preaching also, but he'll be back next week. Peter saw it. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke 5, 3 through 11, that's my text. I just want to say that Peter learned something I wish we could all see this morning. You can listen and understand facts, take them into your head, but that's just storing knowledge. I'd like for you to see what we're going to look at today with your heart. You see this with your heart, it'll put what you learned into action. The Bible says, be not hearers of the word only, but doers, lest ye deceive your own heart. So when we hear what God is teaching us and it gets into our heart, it becomes action. Our text again is in Luke 5, starting in verse 3, where it says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Notice Jesus said nets. Peter said net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to pray for our pastor and his wife, Kathy. Lord, I pray that they'll have an uplifting time, a time where you can deal with them, a time where they can just be charged up, come back and lead us. And Lord, I pray now that you'd be with us this morning. You know my limitations like I do, and I just pray that you'd take care of us and teach us this morning, Lord, that we would learn something, and Lord, that it would become part of us and it change us. In your name we pray. Amen. And I think most of you know this morning. Simon was one of the best men God had as he was walking this earth. But Jesus knew that Simon Peter needed to learn a lesson if he's going to be really useful, a really good servant, and happy and successful. So Jesus said, I need to borrow your boat. Now, here's a crucial time of decision for any Christian. We all have this time. And the question was, will I give what's most important to God? So many times, we're going to give this, we're going to give that, but we hold back. And this boat was everything to Peter. This was his income, it's how he fed his family. It was everything. And so the question is, would I give anything and everything to God? Now, he could have said, I'd let you have it, but in the morning, as soon as the sun comes up, I have to get out on this boat, so I won't be able to. Everyone must come and make a decision at this crossroads in life. Will I give everything to God? Some, and I think of one man, good man, that worked in our bus ministry back in Indiana years ago. And to work in our bus ministry, I have to say, you had to work. there was a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, then we'd go out and be at least 5 or 6 hours and come back, and there'd be preparation, you know, storage. everything like that. And so I'm not saying that there wasn't a lot that the person gave up to work in the bus ministry. But this fellow, good man, came to me and said, I can't do this anymore. He said, you know, the church is expanding, we're growing, you're going to need money. My ministry is going to be giving as opposed to this. I'll just tell you, when you're going to pick and choose, your ministry is going to be giving, pretty soon you won't even give. I take another side, another man I'm thinking of. He was a fairly new Christian. Man, he was excited. You've seen that type. He got saved. He was excited. He wanted to tell everybody he wanted to work in the bus ministry. But he thought he couldn't give. He said, I can do all this, but I can't give. And I'll tell you this from experience. If you can't give, if you're going to do everything but give, pretty soon you'll stop soul winning. You can't pick and choose. Your lack of faith will kill your ministry and kill your soul winning. It's a real decision. It will dictate your future Christian life. But Peter said, as we know, I don't know when it'll come back, but sure, take the boat. And Jesus got in. We know this in hindsight. Jesus got in. He just pushed the boat a little offshore. He taught the people out of the boat. When he came back, it got real exciting. When he got back, he looked at Peter and thought, you know, you've learned a lesson. You gave me your little ship. I'm going to complete that lesson. He said, you fished all night and taken nothing. I want you to take your nets, again, plural, nets. And I want you to put them in the water exactly where I tell you, and you'll reap like you never have before. And Simon half-heartedly believed, and he took one net. He thought he'd appease the Lord. We're that way. I'm that way. I'm the expert. I've been doing this all my life. I know this. In verse 5, we read, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. We're that way so often. I'm ashamed to say I've been like that. As a pastor, I've seen it so often. We don't really believe. We say we're independent fundamental Baptists. We believe the Bible, King James Bible. And we do, but sometimes we don't. Okay? Take Malachi 3:10. So many people don't like that verse. But it promises something. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And listen to me if you're a young Christian. Our pastor just doesn't want your money. When I was a pastor, God blessed our church mightily. And when I would preach on giving, and I love to preach on giving, because it just shows God's power, just in black and white. Here he says, prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that's God. Prove me, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven, wow, and I'll prove myself. So many, you know, they're really stingy, especially us old people get retired. We're tight. Listen to me. How many times has God want to prove himself and we didn't allow him? I think when our church was about 2 years old, we bought some land and we're going to build our first billboard. And I am, O ye of little faith, that's me. And when we put the first foundation, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, oh, ye of little faith. It was too small. Very first service was overflowing. And the point I'm making is, we need to find God's will. I've said it. Jack's here visiting here, and his wife, he's heard me say it 1,000 times. Find God's will. Know God's will. Follow through and do it. Have faith enough to do it. Peter caught so many fish that he had to call his partners over with another. Picture in your mind's eye, okay? His net is ripping. They bring another boat over. It's ready to sink. Again, picture. Here they come. Read the Bible. It's ready to sink. The water is overflowing. The thing is full of fish. And what does the Bible say? Peter finally saw it. Peter saw it. Peter suddenly realized that Christianity was true. And that what Jesus taught was a fact. All I did is give him my little boat and he gave it back to me. Plus taught me how to fish like nobody ever has in this lake. And again, in verses 8 and 9 of our text in Luke chapter 5, it says, When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished and all that was with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. I don't know what they're called today. My day, they're called hippies. Long, stringy hair, living together, not being married, slovenly. They haven't seen it. But on the other hand, even the pastor, who as the Bible uses the phrase, is afraid of people's faces. What does that mean? They're afraid to preach that somebody's getting mad at them and quit. He hasn't seen it. Okay? And for sure, the church member who won't even come to church faithfully when the doors are open, the church member who will not witness. Understand what I'm saying? The church member who's free to work for God won't go knock on doors. He has not seen it. You can say it all you want, but I'll tell you what, the religion, independent Baptist churches have changed. We're not willing to give our all, okay? When the doors are open, we're here. When it's time to soul win, we're soul winning. When there's work to do, we're here. Things have changed. It's a younger generation. But the old people are doing the same thing. A person like that has not seen it. The church member who can look around the world and see it's falling apart. Again, Israel being bombarded. Just our world is sick today. Our nation, we're losing our nation. Our once godly nation. People will complain. But our nation was founded on Christian principles. George Washington was a Christian. John Adams was a Christian. Understand, everybody was not a Christian, but our country was founded. And listen to me, younger people. That's why we have a great nation. And the reason we don't have a nation like that anymore is we're gone. We're afraid to sacrifice for God. But if we look at what's happening out here, and then look at a church like this. And I love our pastor and our pastor's wife. And when we have the opportunities we have, if that doesn't excite us, if that doesn't make us say, "I'm going to be in church every time the doors are open," if that doesn't say, "I am going to spread the gospel, I'm going to tell others, I want to see them saved," something's wrong with us. Something's wrong with us. I think of a man, again, please, excuse me talking about the church. I pastored for 43 years, from a kid in my 20s for 43 years. So that's my life. And I think of a man who came to visit his brother. He was from Wisconsin. We were in Northwest Indiana. And I preached on salvation. He got saved. Then they dealt with him, and then I talked to him afterward. Found out he wasn't married. Now, that was rare in those days. I married him that afternoon. You say, "What about the paperwork?" Forget the paperwork. I married him in God's church that afternoon. I was talking to him about the Holy Spirit. He says, "You know, I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to move here." So in one afternoon, the guy got saved. The guy got baptized. He joined a church, got married, and decided to move. You say, "How does that happen?" He saw it. You understand? He saw it. I talk about the building, the little building. We had a place, bonds. You don't even probably know what they are now. But because we had a bank loan when we bought the building about a before, we couldn't get another loan. So we placed bonds, $100, $500, $1,000. And could imagine, nothing backed those bonds up but the church. It was hard. And we were just small. There was only about 10 of us, 10 giving people. And it got to the place where it was the last payment. I had met with everybody personally. Have you talked to your neighbor? Have you talked to your relatives? Have you talked to your people at work? We had talked to everybody, and we needed $18,000. Now, that seems like nothing now, but it was everything to me. If you remember last week, I told you about when we started a church, we had no income, we had no support, but God took care of us. We depended on God to take care of us. I expected that. So I got up. You wouldn't want to be my wife. I'd make her so nervous. I got up and I got wound up. I used to preach a lot wilder back then. And I said, if that $18,000 comes come in by Tuesday, we're shutting the church down. I won't serve a God that can't do that. I remember my wife saying, what did you say that for? I said, I wasn't planning to. And I was nervous. I was going to Chattanooga. We were starting a school. I was going to hire teachers. And I was in this old dump motel. Now, back then, there were no computers, no cell phones, so nothing like that. So you didn't call all the time. I called my wife, and I very nervously said, what happened? $19,500. Now, kids, cover your ears. In that old motel, I made a trampoline out of the two beds, and I bounced back and forth, and I shouted, and I praised God. You see, God is real. He is real. He is real. Through the years, you've probably seen things. Don't forget what you've seen. God is real. Peter saw it, and because he's God, he's absolutely supreme and holy. Peter said, saw the holiness of God, and he fell at his knees and said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. That's the way you feel. Yeah. Turn if you would to Revelation 4, verse 8. Have you come to that place? I just want to read. Are you still at that place? In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes without, and this is the point, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Back a couple pages in Revelation 15, verse 4. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. Samuel wrote, who is able to stand before this holy God? Job said, the heavens are not clean. Isaiah, and here we read, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you see it? Or do you, I don't mean this funny. I see so many Christians treat God like a spare tire. He's back in the back until I need him. Or they treat him like some union worker in a factory, always saying, I need this or I demand that. You just come to church and go through the motions because this thing to do is, or have you seen him like Isaiah? High and lifted up in his holiness. Now let me bring home a point. Seeing him as God, coming to that place where you cross the line and you're at his feet, is key to all that's good. The offerings in any church will be great if the people in the church just treat God as holy. They'll know what to do. I think we need revival. You want to see revival? We all treat God as holy. We'll see it. How many like to be a real soul winner? You like to lead your father to the Lord? Like to lead some child to the Lord so he has direction the rest of his life? I'm not talking about a pep rally, but the kind of soul winner that's powered by God. You see this, you'll be a soul winner. The prerequisite to being a soul winner is giving everything to God. Peter saw it, and he gave his all. Back in our text passage again, in chapter 5 of Luke, the end of verse 10. I'm in the wrong one. End of verse 10, it says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Until you give yourself. I'm not saying you have to quit your job, but you give your job. You give your family. You give everything. You give your home. Until you do, you won't really be the soul winner you ought to be. But when you give your all, you'll want to win souls. You'll want to hear about souls. You'll want to be in a church that's winning souls. You'll be praying for your pastor. But you won't do it until you see God's holiness. That makes the difference. When you see God's holiness, all your worldly affairs get taken care of. In Luke 16, verse 11, Jesus says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches?" You see? Did you know that your spirituality is directly related to your finances? Peter saw it. He gave his all. And who did God choose to preach Pentecost? Peter. No analytical outline. No quartet that looked like a thousand-legged jitterbug. But Peter stood and preached in the power of God, and 3,000 people were saved. He saw that he must give himself and his resources to God. Now, I'm not a fisherman. Back in Idaho, where we lived for 9 years before we came here, where we lived right in Teton County, Idaho, people traveled around the world to come there to fish, especially for trout. I tried it. I don't have the patience. Sorry, fishermen. I'm not a fisherman. But Jesus didn't say, "I'll make you fishers of men." Read it. He said, "You will catch men. I'll enable you to catch men." Now, I'm going to tie things up. In verse 11, again of our text in chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." When you see it, when you really see it, it'll be so exciting, so thrilling, that you'll forsake all and follow him. A lot of people, my father thought I was crazy, okay? But I tell you, when you see it, you get a little crazy. We lose sight of the holiness of God. We just look at religion. We need to fall in love again. Let me use an illustration. This happens thousands, millions of times. Here's a girl, lives in a beautiful home. Her own bedroom, closet full of clothes like all girls have. Can't choose what to wear. And she falls in love, moves out with some knothead, okay? Maybe a studio apartment, right? May not even know what they're going to eat. Why would a girl do that? She finds something she likes better than security, that's why. man, let's go to church. Again, I'm 80 years old. You 80-year-olds or you 90-year-olds, it's hard to get around. I used to be an athlete, believe it or not. I used to climb mountains. Now I can hardly walk. But I still want to walk. And I pray to God that I'll be able to go door to door for Him. It doesn't mean that normally you have to quit your job, sell your house. Not normally. But oh, when you see it, all else will fade into oblivion. You will be at church. You will be praying for our pastor. You won't give in to financial pressures, but you'll fall on your face and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Your car will be His, and the gas, no matter how much it costs. Your family will be His, and you won't be protecting them. Your time will be His, listen to me, and you'll always be ready to change your schedule for Him. Your money will be His. When He taps you on the shoulder, He'll take care of His needs. Sometimes I hear people say about somebody that's given themselves to God, "Oh, how he sacrificed." No. I'd switch a pocket full of dirt for a pocket full of diamonds any day. I myself has never given anything up for God. Anything I've ever done has been an improvement. Anything I've ever given has been a blessing. The best thing that can ever happen to you is give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. When He's not just your Savior, but He's your Lord, you'll see wonderful things. Wonderful things. I don't want to embarrass Gloria, but we were at her house this week. She's from Argentina. We're from Chicago. But boy, did we have a lot in common. Did we have a good time of fellowship. Say why? Because our background. It's unbelievable what she was talking about. The old days. The sacrifice. The power of God. Change lives. Change families. Change countries. That's the way it used to be. People. That's the way it used to be. I'm through. But you know Billy Sunday, was he a Baptist? No, he was Presbyterian. Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. Where are the Presbyterians today? What about the L. Moody? What was he? He was a Congregationalist. Where are the Congregationalists today? I don't know either. Say, what are you getting at? I went to Bob Jones University. They wouldn't send me a dog there anymore. But I went to Bob Jones University, started by a Methodist, Bob Jones Sr. First church I pastored as a senior in college was a Methodist church. Now, don't stone me. But I preach just exactly what I preach today. He would say, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is, where are the Methodists? Where are the Presbyterians? Where are the Congregationalists? And where are the Baptists? No, not here. We're gone down the same route that they've gone. The same route. And we're dwindling. Our influence is dwindling. You say, why? Because we haven't seen it. We need to see it again. We need to say, boy, I don't care how old I am or who I am. I'm giving myself to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Again, I just want to ask, who here has God tapped you on the shoulder and said, see it again, how many would raise your hand, and by doing so you'd say, pray for me, I want to pray for you. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts. Lord, I pray you'll deal with my heart. Lord, help me to never want to quit. Just keep on going. We thank you for a good church. We thank you for our pastor, pastor's wife. Lord, help us to be a help to them. Back them up. Be faithful workers so we might see greater things. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would, stand at your seats as an invitation. The song is sung. If God dealt with you, come and kneel at the altar here. Let him continue. The altar is open for anyone that wants to come.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between, nothing between my world. Through harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between.
There's a hymn that you can keep singing all day long.
What's that?
Last verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Bob, verse number 4.
Nothing between, even many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, on earth at last there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing be.
I know I've been challenged. I hope you've been challenged this morning. Have you seen Him? Have you seen Him? Just like we just sung, nothing between. If you've seen Jesus, then there will be nothing between you and the Savior. And I just pray that if you've seen Him, have you given your all to Him? I thank Brother Roger for preaching. That was great. I appreciate what God laid on His heart. I appreciate how God used that this morning. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. And as we're praying, Brother Roger and Sharon, can you go to the foyer? We'd love for people to shake your hand. I know he's shaking his head at me going, don't want you to do that, brother. But I want to tell you, I appreciate, that's a man of faithfulness right there. And we may live that what he has seen. He's seen Jesus. May we see Jesus and live like he has lived. Amen. Live for him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the word of God. And I know that it's challenged me, Lord, that I would forsake all because I have seen you. Lord, that I would not let nothing between me and you. Nothing between me and my Savior who has given all so that way I can give all. Lord, I may that you may be honored and glorified in all that we do as we leave from here this morning. We pray that you would bring us back tonight, Lord, so that the word of God can be preached, so that we can worship you in spirit and truth. I thank you for Brother Roger, and I thank you for allowing him to be with us, and Lord, for him to be a part of our church family. We are thankful for him and his faithfulness, Lord. We pray that you would just that you would help us to leave here with your joy and your peace. In your precious name, amen. Amen.